You want to have your bulletin, the back of it handy. We're going to refer to it a few times this morning as we take a look at the question and the answers. I mean, just think about the setting and the context of what has taken place. The people saw a wondrous sign, a miracle. Thousands of people have been fed. It started with almost nothing, and yet there was an abundance. And then Jesus ends up on the other side, but he didn't go in the boat. Not the way they saw it. He had walked out to his disciples, and then they were frightened, and he took care of that, and then he arrives on land. But, you know, it wasn't like he started out, and they wondered, how'd you get here? And so that's kind of the first question. How'd you get here? You weren't in the boat when the disciples left. And then Jesus recognizes, as Jesus is the Son of God, true man. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in their head. He knows what they're thinking and what they're feeling. And he recognizes that's not the question you really want to ask, is it? For those of you who are parents, you know what that's like. Your kids come into the room and they ask a question, but you look at them and you go, that's not really what the question is that's on your mind. I can tell. My folks could do that with my brothers and sisters and myself. And now I found that I did it with my kids. And I'm learning my grandkids again. They're at our house this week. And, you look at them and it's like, that's not really what you're up to, is it? The Lord does that perfectly. We do it somewhat okay. But the Lord does it perfectly, and he looks at them and he says, that's not what you're up to. Look at his answer. It's in the text. They came, this is verse 25, is when the question shows up. And then Jesus says, you were not seeking me because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. In other words, Jesus is waiting for them to ask, what can I do for you? What can Jesus do for them? They saw the sign already, but it's like that's not enough. Jesus wants to offer them more than just bread. And what they turn it into is bread every day. The reference to the days of Moses is in the days of the wilderness when God provided manna and the quail, and there they had food day and day after day, and it was all taken care of. But what's interesting is the Old Testament points out they grumbled about that. Manna again. Did you ever complain about having a repeat of something? You know, whether it was leftovers or it was the same dish that was fixed on Monday and now it's Thursday and mom and dad are fixing it again. You know, chicken again or hamburger stew again or casserole again. You know, it's like when they came to Jesus, they had been fed, but they wanted more food. Every day guarantees of food. And the question that Jesus really wants them to raise is, what food is going to give me eternal life? How are you going to feed me spiritually that I may live? What are you going to give me that is unto everlasting? But there's our problem. It was a problem in his day, and it's a problem in our day. People may say Jesus is Lord, and we would say Jesus is Lord, and we come to him, and it's like our vision is short-sighted. We want Jesus to fix today's question. What's for lunch? And as if that is the most important thing about our life. And I understand there is poverty, and I understand there is hunger, and I understand there are people who are unemployed, and I understand those kinds of things. I've understood what it meant to do without. And I'm not trying to downplay that. But is that really the greatest need? Because if you die with a full stomach and you die apart from Christ, what do you have? The Bible asked it this way: what profits a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? It's the same kind of question. Jesus is trying to get them to ask the right question because he's the right answer. Look at what they ask next. When you take a little further down, what must we do to be doing the works of God? What's wrong with that question? What do you think? It's all about self, isn't it? It's all about the law. It's about accomplishing something that is independent of Christ. Many, many years ago, we don't do it so much now, and our culture has changed. We would go make cold calls. That means you would knock on a door where you didn't have an appointment. And you would ask people, if they were to die tonight, would they go to heaven? And you would get answers about what they do. Well, I try to live a good life, you know. And I had someone say, well, I haven't killed anyone. You know, it's like, okay, that gets you in. And on, you know, and I try to treat others as I want to be treated. We would get that kind of answer. And again, this is what, it's about self. But it breaks the context of what the whole conversation. Jesus is the one that gave them the bread. Jesus is the one that gave them the fish. And they talk about self. Jesus is the one that's supposed to give them a sign, and they talk about self. It breaks the context because their vision and their heart are so short-sighted. It's hard to see beyond self. And when we have a hard time seeing beyond self, we will do the same kind of questions. You know, God, what have you done for me lately? God, take this cup from me. We're quoting scripture now. Sounds really Christian, right? Take this cup from me. Take away my arthritis. Take away and whatever you consider your misery at the moment, you would define as your cup. Take that away. Prove to me that you're God and that you love me. We're always wanting something. Something more. In fact, we will often give credit in history what really God did. And they did that in the text. Well, Moses, hey, you know, you haven't been like Moses. Moses was better than you. Moses gave the people, you know. And of course, it changes the whole context again because in the days of Moses, the people didn't like Moses. But now he becomes a great name and a great guy, and he gave the people something that they grumbled about, right? And then, you know, Moses did this, and Jesus has to correct them. Moses didn't do a thing except serve the Lord. It's God who gave the manna. And Moses gave credit to God. If you're going to quote Moses, get it right. But how often we do that? We quote, but we get it wrong. We expect miracles, and we give credit to human beings and other things, and we don't praise God. We're always looking for the next fix, the next greatest thing, the next wellness, the next, you know, satisfaction, the next pleasure. And we're asking God to fill us. How does Jesus answer? Look at the text. Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And what do? Sir, give us this bread. And what do they say? Always. There's a debate about whether they really understood what that meant. We can imagine someone in the back of the group going, manna every day again? Yuck. You know, give us this bread always. Jesus is talking about himself. And several times in the scriptures, it talks about when Jesus taught, it was intentionally not really clear until after his death and resurrection. He told people, don't call me God yet, you know, because the crowd and the population wouldn't give it. He told his disciples, don't tell anyone, because they wouldn't understand until the whole gospel in the sense of the plan of salvation was complete by the resurrection. And the punchline is when Christ comes again and brings all of us to be with him. But here they turn and they say, give us this bread always. And I think our difficulty, just like then today, is that we translate the word bread to mean different things. I want my house always. I want my job always. I want my health always. You know, I want. The last line is about the grace of God. To children who constantly come to their parents and moan and groan. To children who constantly say, I don't want that, I want something else. Parents take care of the kids. And they continue to teach, and they continue to raise them up, and they continue to instruct them. And God in Christ teaches us and instructs us. And he tells us, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. To learn how to be content in plenty and want, as Paul preaches later on, to learn how to be filled with the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, to learn to grow in faith, it is to turn to Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. And this, again, is our disconnect. We turn to many, many things to make our life complete. We turn to new automobiles when the car seems to not be up to fashion. We turn to the latest phone, cell phone, because there's a new product out. We turn to, and not all of us are materialistic. It might be to return to, in the sense of a new exercise or a new health program or a new diet. Or not all of us are into TV, the latest programs, or the latest electronics, or... But we're always turning to something other than Christ. Where's the evidence in that? It's simple. The lack of Bible study. Not only in this congregation, but the proportion of membership that are in worship indicates we turn to something else. We turn to recreation. We turn to sleep. You know, we turn to something where we're looking to find life and peace and contentment. If I just do this, if I just get this, if I can just have that, my life would be so much better. And Jesus is telling them, it's not another loaf of bread. It's not another piece of fish. It is in him that you and I have life. It's in him that we have peace. It's in him that we have the forgiveness of sins. You want a real stress relief? Go to the cross and be forgiven. Go to the empty tomb and know that you have life. Go to the Savior who loves you, who gave himself for you. Why do you think the scripture says, I can endure all things through Christ Jesus, my Lord? Because Christ is not the answer to our menu. Christ is the answer and the solution to our misery, our fear of death, our anger, our discontent. Christ is the answer, for he is the bread of life. He is the one who's come down. We don't need another sign. We don't need another miracle. We like miracles, you know. And Jesus does them at times. I can't explain why one gets one and one doesn't. I don't know. But the ultimate miracle is that Christ continues to give himself to you and me. When we come with our questions, he's patient. When we come to him with our silliness, he knows. And he still gives us himself. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So, we talked to the kids about what questions did they come with God. Let's talk about the big kids. What questions have you come to God with? Is it questions like the gospel? Lord, how'd you get here? What'd you do? What do we need to do? Or is it, Lord, help us that we may feast on the living bread and receive the living water that we may have life. Amen.